Lord, you had the splendor of heaven, a crown, a robe, and a throne. So what kind of love would lead you to leave the safety of that kind of home? I know that you willingly suffered, but why would you suffer for me? I know what I am, and I don't understand how I could be worth Calvary. When you knew I was lost, and you knew that a cross was the price you'd have to pay. When we cried, crucify, Lord, you didn't have to die, but you did it anyway. Now I'll never see what you saw in me, 'cause you knew I would never be perfect.
But I'm just so glad that
somehow you thought I was worth it.
Lord, sometimes I feel like a vessel, just useless old pieces of clay. But somehow you saw more, something worth dying for. You paid more than you should have paid.
When you knew I was lost, and you knew that a cross was the price you'd have to pay. When we cried, crucify, Lord, you didn't have to die, but you did it anyway. Now I'll never see what you saw in me, 'cause you knew I would never be perfect.
But I'm just so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it.
Now I'll never see what you saw in me, 'cause you knew I would never be perfect.
But I'm just so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it. But I'm just so glad that somehow you thought I was worth it.
That'll kind of get down in the core of your soul there, amen. Just get you to thinking about what Jesus done for you. It's very touching. Very touching that the Lord would do all that He's done for us, knowing all that we wouldn't do for Him. You know, it's enough that He would do all that He'd done, but knowing us and still doing it. I praise the Lord for His goodness. Last week, I felt led of the Lord to talk with you about hell, preach from His Word. Hell is a subject that you don't hear much in our churches anymore. It used to be a subject that was mentioned quite often because the Bible mentions it quite often. It's a very real place, as we talked about last week, and people are going there. There's many people already gone there. and many more on the way. And it's our place to get the message out so that they can find out they don't have to go there. And some need to find out that they're headed there. They don't even realize it. That's why we have missions here at the church. That's why we have outreach. That's why we are personal witnesses of the Lord. This morning I want to talk to you about the other end of the spectrum. I was sitting at my desk this morning quite early, and last week when I was studying about hell, I'd read a quote by William Booth. Someone had asked William Booth about training his personal workers. You know, William Booth started the Salvation Army. He's the founder of the Salvation Army. And someone had asked him about training his personal workers, and did he have a preference in what seminary that they attended. And he said, if I had my way, I wouldn't send them to seminary. I'd march them through hell for about 5 minutes, and I don't think I'd have to say another word. I think there's a lot of truth to that. But as I was sitting at my desk this morning, just contemplating and asking God to help me to keep in remembrance through the week what He's brought to my mind, I thought, you know, if I had a choice, I don't know that I would follow Brother Booth's recommendation or choice. I believe I'd tell him about heaven. If you're going to send somebody somewhere to leave an internal impression on them, I don't know that I'd want them to walk the corridors of hell. I believe I'd like for them to walk the street of gold and find out what you're going to miss if you reject Jesus. Now, I guess that's just the difference in two men's opinions, and that's okay. Because when all is said and done, it really is not going to come down to a man's opinion. It's going to come down to what have you done with Christ. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? What have you done with this person, Jesus? Well, I want to share some things with you about heaven. Now, I'm going to be preaching the next couple of few messages about heaven, and there's no way that I could really describe heaven to you in one service. But I do want to do this. I want you to, as your Bible is open to Revelation 21, just want to lay a little foundation for you about this place we're going, called heaven. You say, preacher, we all going to heaven? Well, all saved people are going to heaven. You say, well, I'm a good person. Good people don't go to heaven, right? You say, well, I'm not bad. Well, bad people don't go to hell. Saved people go to heaven. I want you to get this down. I'll keep saying this until God takes my last breath. Saved people go to heaven, and unsaved people go to hell. Understand this. It's not about where good people go or bad people go. All right? God's already made that clear. We're all bad. There's none good. There's none good. We need to get that clear. There's none good. There's none righteous. No, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7:20. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the Word of God has established the fact that there's none good. So we need to set that aside about ourselves. See, every man will think more highly of himself than he ought. The Bible teaches this. You ask folks, and listen, you know it, I know it, we all know it. We have a little bit of a higher of an estimation of ourselves and what we really are. And that's just the way man is. But you see, we don't need to see ourselves only as we see ourselves, but we need to see ourselves as God sees us. And when God sees us, He sees us imperfect. He sees us sinners that have fallen short. We've come short of the glory of God. The standard that God set, every man has fallen short of that. And in order for that to be corrected, God did something about it, and I'm glad that He did, aren't you? God gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Now, not everyone's going to heaven. You say, preacher, is everyone in this building going to heaven? I don't know. I don't know if you're saved. I know I'm saved. Amen? I know I'm saved. You can know you're saved, but I don't know who's saved and who's not saved. The Bible says, by their fruit you shall know them. That's right. What kind of fruit are you producing? That'll go a long way in showing if you're saved or not. The fruit that you produce. Are you producing fruit? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit of God to produce his fruit in your life? If you are, well, that's a good indication that the Spirit of God lives in you and that you're saved. And saved people go to heaven. Now, what about this place? I hear people talk about it all the time. Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God this and I'm going to ask God that. I doubt it. I doubt it. I don't think there's going to be a lot of questions in heaven. I don't think so. I think there's going to be a lot of wowing in heaven. Wow. You know, we were talking in Sunday school at the close of the class. A lady came up to me and said, you know, when I get to heaven, God's going to have to change some things because I might be thinking, how did he make it here? And how did she make it here? I'm not so sure. I won't be asking, how did I make it here? Amen. God's grace, brethren. God's grace. We need to understand that. It's all by God's grace, you see. And I know this lady understood that. Let's look at some scripture here. In John 21, Pastor Brandon read in your hearing where John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said, I saw this city, this holy city, this new Jerusalem coming down from heaven, you see, from God, out of heaven. And he begins to describe a little bit about this city on down in the 10th verse. He said, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. He began to mention many wonderful things about this place. What do you know about heaven? See, I'm convinced in my heart that there's a lot of people that are not trying to escape hell because they don't know a whole lot about hell. That's why I preached on it last week, and I will continue to preach on hell because it's a Bible doctrine. It's a Bible truth, and we need to preach it to keep people out of there, to warn them. But I'm also convinced that there's not a whole lot of knowledge about heaven. That's why a whole lot of people that are saved are eager to go there. Man, there's a lot of folks, they got it made here, and they're thinking, man, this is great. I hope I stay here forever. I don't. I don't. I'm looking forward to going to heaven because I've studied my Bible, and while I can't tell you all about heaven, I know some things about heaven that really compel me to want to be there. I have a great desire in my heart to be in heaven. Sometimes life can be tiresome, burdensome. There's battles to fight, and there's enemies, and there's failure in our own lives, and we just long for this wonderful place called heaven. It's a wonderful place, brethren. It's a wonderful place. John began to describe a little bit, and I'll just give you a little overview. And I hear people say, well, you know, when I get there, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But in verse number 11, he said that this place had the glory of God, and her light, and in Revelation 21, verse 11, was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. He talked about in verse number 12, they had a great wall. He began to talk about this wall that it had, this new Jerusalem, this heaven where we're going, this new Jerusalem. He began to describe this wall in verse number 12. Then in verse number 14, he talked about that wall, that city had 12 foundations, and the name of those 12 foundations was the 12 apostles of the Lord. He goes on in verse number 19. If you look down there, he talks about the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones, and he begins to talk about the foundation of that wall and all that they were made up of. And then, listen, you talking about beauty and splendor. Oh, Paul, the apostle who was called up into paradise, into the third heaven, he said in his writings in 1 Corinthians, he said, "I have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Brethren, what Paul was saying, he said, "I cannot even begin to describe to you the beauty and the splendor of this place where all the saved of all of time will go one day." It's a wonderful, beautiful place. And here's John, and he's given us a little bit of a description of it. It just whets the appetite, and it just makes us want to long and desire to be there. He said down in verse number, if you look in verse number 18, he talked about the city a little more. He said the building in verse number 18 of Revelation 21, the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city, now look at it, the city was pure gold. See, some folks think, well, you know, the streets, and I'll address that in a minute. It's not streets, it's street, but I'll address it. They say, well, you know, it's got streets of gold. Hey, the Bible says the whole city is gold. And that gold, he said in verse number 18, he said, it was clear, like unto clear glass. What a city, what a place. He begins to describe the foundations and all the beautiful precious stones that make up this place. Then in verse number 21, he talks about those gates. And he said they were 12 gates and 12 pearls. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. In other words, every several gate was of one pearl. Then he said in verse number 21, follow it now. He said in verse number 21, and the street now, not the streets. See, everybody in heaven's going to live on Main Street. There's nobody going to live over in the corner in some shack in heaven. Dismiss that from your mind. Dismiss that from your mind. Say, oh, preacher, as long as I make it to heaven, I don't care if I just live in a little hut on the backside of Hallelujah Boulevard. Hey, if you make it to heaven, if you're saved in the grace of God, you're going to live on Main Street, amen. The Bible said right here in verse number 21, he said that the street of that city was pure gold, and it was, as it were, transparent glass. Verse chapter number 22, verse number 2 says, and in the midst of the street. See, that's singular. I just don't think there are going to be any back roads in heaven. We've gotten so earthly minded, we can't even get our minds to contemplate what this place is. But the Spirit of God will teach us. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He said, but the Spirit of God searcheth all things, and he will reveal it to the people of God. When we get along with God and get in his word and get in the secret place, and God begins to make it real in our soul that this is a real place where real people are going to spend a real eternity, brethren, it gets real. Many people don't think about heaven anymore. We're so affixed and so attached to this world, and it's easy to become that way. It is. There's so many things pulling at us and holding on to us, just trying to keep us to stay earthly minded and earthbound, to where we it's almost like, you know, the enemy's trying to get our minds and our souls and our very beings to believe that this is it right here, that this is all there is. I'm so thankful to God that this is not all there is. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'm so thankful to God that this is not all there is, brethren. You say, well, preacher, I'm living a pretty good life. Well, I am too, because God's good. Amen. Say amen with me, church. God's good. You say, well, God's not good. You're not looking at it right. God's always good. God's always good. You say, well, some bad things are happening to me. That doesn't mean God's not good. That means that there's a devil and there's sin and there's consequences. But God is always good. And I'm glad this life is not all there is. I'm so thankful to God this is not it. There's a better day coming in the sweet by and by, brethren. I mean, this is reality. John began to describe this place, and he began to talk about in verse number 23. He said that city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, chapter number 21, verse number 23, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. My. Hey, that's real. The Shekinah glory of God is going to light this place. The God that lit the heavens in the beginning and told the sun to shine, set that big ball of fire, that flaming sun, to light this world by day, and put the moon there to reflect as a mirror that light, the light, the night of this whole world is going to be the light itself in heaven. God is, brethren. God is. It's real. This is real. The Shekinah glory of God is going to be the light of that city. You say, preacher, that's fantasy. No, it's reality. If you understand the spiritual realm of life, if you understand our Creator and what God has done. You know, some people might read this description and say, oh, now that's impossible. You've never stepped outside and looked up at the sky at night, have you? And seen more stars than you can count. And can I tell you something? For every one you see, there's hundreds and millions that you haven't seen. Galaxies, planets rotating. Listen, I'm telling you, God is an awesome God. He is awesome. And He has prepared a place for us. We could go on down, and I want to get to something here. I've got a point I want to make before a lot of introduction to make one point. But when you get down, it says in verse number 24, now I want you to get this. I don't want you to miss this. See, I want you to go to heaven. Now, as a preacher, on the negative side, I could approach you and say, hey, please don't go to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. I'm glad for the day that I was approached with that. So that offends me. Well, I'll not offend you. You ought to thank somebody if they try to keep you out of hell. Say amen with me now. That's the devil whispering in your ear. You're listening to the wrong voice. Someone's trying to get you saved and get you in a personal relationship with Christ and get you to understand that there's a need in your life. You ought to thank them. Don't be offended at them. You ought to thank God for somebody who cares about your soul. There's a lot of folks who claim to be saved. They could care less about your soul. So be thankful if somebody has approached you about your soul. So on the one side, there's a negative, trying to keep you out of hell. But on the other side, I also want to get you into heaven. Amen. See, hell's not my only motivator. There's heaven. Heaven's a wonderful place. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss this place. You know, here on this earth, the next big theme park, I think if I've done my research properly, Disney is the number one leading theme park in the world. Disney's nothing. Now listen, somebody got mad at me right there. I could tell you I didn't care if Mickey Mouse lived or died, and you'd get mad. God forbid if I told you in front of your children he wasn't real. Been to Disney. We'll probably go back one day. My grandchildren get a little older, and God allows that to happen. So don't leave here with the wrong idea. But we're not talking about anything on the level of Disney. We're talking about heaven. Amen. I mean, no comparison whatsoever. None. You read about this place. Look in chapter 22. He said, he showed me a pure river of water of life. You know, there's very few things serene, and some of you country folks will understand this. There's very few things more serene than sitting by a running brook. They call it a babbling brook. You're sitting by a babbling brook, hot day, you're in the shade, you hear that water, and every now and then you can just put your hand down. That's right. When it's a babbling brook, when it's a running brook, you can just get your hand down there and one scoop or two, whichever you choose, amen, and just get you a good taste of that good fresh water and just sit back and listen to nature and listen to the water run and the birds sing and the bees buzz. Hey, there's nothing like it. It is serene. You know what's missing in our world? That description I just gave you. Most people are pinned up in a house, in an office, hearing a bunch of noise. Instead of those sounds right there. Actually, they're selling those sounds on tapes and CDs so people can get a little calm and relaxation. And the people that are producing them are making millions. You can just go out and experience it. You don't have to pop it in to listen to it. Just go out and get it live. Amen. The river of life. Can you imagine this? Hey, he said it's a pure, look what he said in chapter number 22. It's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, and it's going to be proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. What a scene. Then he talked about that street again, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life, and it's going to bear 12 manner of fruit every 12 months. Isn't that something? Which bear 12 manner of fruit and yielded fruit every month. I'm sorry, every month. 12 manner of fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Real. This is real. You're talking about a picture, a description. This is a wonderful place. You don't want to miss it. Who's going to go? Look in chapter 21 and verse number 24. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Did you get that? The nations of them that are saved. Look at verse number 27. Who's going to go to heaven, preacher? Who's going to go to this place? And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Those that have come to Christ and have trusted Him as their personal Savior, repented of their sin, and called upon Christ to forgive them and to accept them into His family. Those are the ones that are going to this place I'm talking to you about. So you got to be perfect to get there? No, you just have to trust in the perfect one. Listen to me now. This is important. So I'm a member of a church. Will that get me there? Nope. It will not. Well, I've been baptized. Will that get me to heaven, preacher? It will not. Church membership and baptism are two great things. But you take them out of their rightful place and they become damning things. If you are relying on a church membership or a baptism to get you to this wonderful place that I have tried to describe to you from God's word this morning, you will not go there because you can't make it on baptism alone, on church membership, good deeds. You can't make it on your parents' religion or any other thing. The only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not through a church. A Baptist church can't get you to heaven. It's not by a preacher. A preacher can't get you to heaven. A priest can't get you to heaven. Listen to me now. The Pope can't get you to heaven. But Jesus can. He's the only one. You want to go to heaven? Say, preacher, why do you want to go to heaven? Is it because of that street of gold? Is it because of the walls of jasper? Is it the gates of pearl, preacher? Is it that crystal brook, that river that you just described? I kind of connected with that personally. What is it? Why do you want to go to heaven? I want you to take your Bible with me. And I want you to turn to a section of Scripture, if you would. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 4. And this is where we'll make the point and close because we've got baptism today. I'm glad that my niece, Amanda, is getting baptized today. She got saved. That's why she's getting baptized. She's not getting baptized because she wants to go to heaven. She got saved because she wanted to go to heaven. You understand? And so she's following the steps of the Bible. You get saved, you get baptized. If you're here today and you've never been baptized, you need to follow the steps of the Bible. It's the first act of obedience. If you have trusted Christ, if you have professed Christ as your Savior, you need to present yourself for public baptism. Say amen. And then you need to join up with a local New Testament Bible-believing church and go to work for Jesus. I tell you, we've gotten a long way off of what God established the church for. But I want to get back to talking about heaven. John chapter 4. Preacher, when you get to heaven, are you going to run and find your mother? Your grandmother? Some of those that have gone on before? You're going to go look up some folks that have died out of this congregation? Mr. and Miss Dobbins, Miss Campbell, Miss Ayler, Mr. Jenkins. What a good man. I was thinking about old Brother Jenkins the other day. What a good man. I miss some of these old saints of God. I do. I miss them. But when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be looking for them. Okay? I'm very appreciative of them. And I'm thankful for the testimony that they left and the lessons in life that they taught me. But I'm not going to be looking for them. In John chapter number 4, John said, after this, after what, preacher? Well, after the church age, which is in chapter 2 and in chapter number 3. By the way, I know our time is running out here, but I want to show you something that breaks my heart. In chapter 2, if you'll look there just for a moment, in chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus begins to address the churches. In John chapter 2, look in verse number 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he, I'm in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst. I want you to underline that word midst. This is Jesus speaking. You can go back to chapter 1 and look in verse number 20, and you'll find that Jesus is the one that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. This is Jesus who the Bible says is walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, which means the church, the churches. There was a day when Jesus used to walk up down the aisles of the local body of believers. The presence of God was real in our churches. Through the process of time, now if you'll go to chapter number 3, we get down to the seventh of these seven churches. There's seven of them. You can count them down here in chapter 2 and 3. You get down to the seventh and final church. Jesus started out in the midst. Did you underline that word? In the midst, which means dead in the center. Everything was around him. Now everything's around a preacher or a family or an event or a program or money. Listen, Jesus ought to be the center of everything every church does. You get to chapter 3 and you look at verse number 20, and Jesus is no longer in the midst of the church. Actually, Jesus is not even in the church. The church done kicked Jesus out. And now he's on chapter number 3 and verse number 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Look at this next phrase. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. That means he's out. He started in the midst of the church. The church was on fire with a love and a passion and a zeal for God. Then they got caught up in cold, dry, dead, formal religion. Now Jesus is on the outside of the church. And he's going to individuals saying, let me in. Let me in. And John said after this, in chapter 4, he said after this, he said, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. We know that Jesus is the door. And he's the only door that will open the way for you to get to heaven, or me. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. There's only one door to get to heaven, brethren. And Jesus is that door. And there was a door open in chapter 4, in verse number 1, in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately, watch this now, immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Now, who is this? We're getting ready to find out. You know what John's getting ready to attempt to do by the power of God and the Spirit of the Lord? He's getting ready to try to describe Jesus to us. He already did it in chapter 1 through a vision. But there's one sitting on this throne. He said, I want to describe what I saw when I got to heaven. Now, I want you to notice when John made an entrance into heaven, he didn't say, I went to see if I could find all my buddies. I went to see if I could find my family. John said, by the way, this is a picture of the entire rapture of the church, and I don't have time to get into that tonight, but it is. And the Bible says, John said, when I got there, he said, this is what I saw. He said, immediately I was in the Spirit in verse number 2, but in verse number 3, he said, I saw that there was a throne, and one sat on the throne, and he, in verse number 3, that sat on the throne was to look on like a jasper and a sardine stone. Isn't that interesting? I can tell you a lot of things about jasper and sardine stones. I've done a little study, a little research on it. It's very, very interesting. A jasper stone is very bright. It's a very brilliant. It's bright. It speaks of the holiness of God and how that God hates sin. Now, I want to make something very clear today. God hates sin. It seems like we're living in a day where people think God's okay with sin. God has never been okay with sin, and He never will be okay with sin. I want you to understand that. And I need to keep this in my mind, too. God is not okay with sin on any level. God's not okay with it. And that's what John is seeing here in chapter number 4 and verse number 3. He said, I saw him that sat on the throne, and he was to look on like a jasper stone. Now, the jasper and the sardine stone were in the breastplate of the high priest. And each one of them had a significance. One stood for Reuben, one stood for Benjamin. Both of them point to the Son of God. Both of their names mean, Reuben means behold a son, and Benjamin means the son of my right hand. They both point to the Son. S-O-N, the Son of God. And when John got to heaven, he looked and he seen this image, and he said, he was like to look on, look at verse number 3, he said he was like to look on, him that sat upon that throne was to look on like a jasper, just brilliant, white, bright. He was holy, and John said, how holy. I read about the holiness of God. I heard it taught, I heard it preached, but John said, I saw it. I saw him in all of his glory and his holiness. It got John's attention. So don't think now when you get to heaven, well, I'm going to run over and check out that river of crystal. You know, I'm going to run over here and check out this street of gold or that walls of jasper. Oh, no. No, when we get to heaven, brethren, I'm going to tell you the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look through the throne and say, wow, woo, hey, man, yeah, hey, man, this is real. This is the real deal here. I'm in heaven, amen. You say, preacher, I don't shout like that. Well, you will then. Heaven's not a quiet place. A lot of churches quiet. Amen. A lot of Christians quiet. When you get to heaven, you're going to get a shout about you. And the Bible says that John, when he saw that, he said he was like to look on, he was like a jasper, the holiness of God. God hates sin. But now look at this next stone, a sardine stone. You know what that is? It's red. It speaks of blood. And while the white, bright stone speaks of the holiness of God, this speaks of the mercy of God. And that while God hates sin, God loves sinners. Hallelujah. Thank God that He loves sinners, brethren. Thank God that He loves sinners. You say, preacher, who's going to heaven? No sinners are going to heaven, are they, preacher? That's the only kind of folks going to be there. Sinners saved by the grace of God. Amen. So I'm going to be perfect, and I'm going to get to heaven. You're not going to be perfect, and you're not going to go to heaven if you rely on that to get you there. But sinners that realize they're a sinner, realize God's holy, and get saved by the blood of Jesus. That's what John saw. And I close with this. He said, I looked up in verse number 3, and he said, there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like an emerald. Now, I'll pick up there tonight a little bit. But you know what John saw? He saw the full story. You know what a rainbow is? A rainbow is a promise. It's a covenant that God's made with man. It started back in the days of Noah when the flood filled the earth, and the earth, except for those eight, perished. Only eight were saved alive, the Bible says. And oh, Noah saw a rainbow, and it was a promise that God would not destroy the earth by water again. That's why there's a rainbow. Many times after it rains, you see a rainbow. A storm, there comes a rainbow. Now, what's John seeing here? He's seeing a lot. Did you notice he said that rainbow was like an emerald? We'll talk about that tonight. You don't want to miss this. And he said it was round the throne. See, Noah only saw half the story. When we get to heaven, we're going to hear the full story, brethren. There's a lot of things that we may not understand here. Why this happened, why this trial, why that judgment, why that. He said, I saw the full rainbow round the throne. See, a lot of things you may be going through, you know about half of it. And when you get to heaven, God's going to reveal some things. By the way, you know when the rainbow comes, don't you? After the storm. The storms of this old life are going to be through one day, brethren. And I'm here to tell you, this is real. I thought about this morning, sitting at my desk. And it just really blessed my heart. There's some people in this congregation going through very deep trials. troubled waters. I've got some good news for you. One day, the storms of life will be no more. There'll be no more. We'll lay down these old burdens. We're going to lay down these old battles. And we're going to enter into our eternal rest. Thank God for that day. So, well, preacher, in heaven, are we just going to float around on the cloud and play a golden harp? That's not the rest I'm talking about. I'm going to talk to you more about that tonight. But I want you to be here. I want you to find out more about this place called heaven. There's very few people that's really eager to go there anymore. If we get to studying what the Bible says about heaven, we'll begin to pray the way John prayed. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Not because we're just tired of this earth, but because we're eager to go to heaven. You say, well, preacher, I pray even so, come, Lord Jesus. Is it because you're tired of this old earth? I know we all get that way. But wouldn't it be wonderful if mixed in with that and even with a greater passion that we could pray even so, come, would be more than we're just tired of this old earth and could be, I'm eager to go to this place called heaven and receive my inheritance, my reward. Because if you'll read this passage of Scripture, there's going to be some crowns distributed. And there's going to be a lot of worship going on here and praise. You talking about worship and praise? This is a place that you want to be. All right? Let's stand to our feet. Heaven is a wonderful place. It's a prepared place. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. So it's a prepared place, but it's for a prepared people. All right? Well, you get prepared is get saved. That's the only way now you're going to get to heaven. Please understand that. I can't overemphasize, and I pray that I've made it very clear that the only way you're going to get to heaven now is to realize you're a sinner. Realize that Jesus died in your place, was buried and rose again, and if you would trust what he did for you, he did that for you. And if you'll come to him and say, God, I realize I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry I've sinned against you, and I want you to come into my life. If you'll pray, you don't have to pray those exact words, but if you'll pray, God, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I'm sorry I've sinned against you, and I want to claim what Jesus has done on my behalf for forgiveness of my sin. Save me. The Bible says, if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, he'll save you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.